There's so many things about this scripture passage that stick out to me. Like that after 3 years of following Jesus, after the crucifixion, it's devastated the disciples so much that they've given up their life of ministry and have quickly returned to their day jobs. Or that the disciples are in such a bad place that they're taking advice from some stranger on the shore. Or the obvious one, that the nets were coming up completely empty on one side of the boat and so full on the other side that they couldn't pull in the catch. But I will admit the first thing that sticks out to me from this passage is that Peter is fishing totally naked. He's out there in his birthday suit, he's with his buddies, and he notices the person on the shore. And that person gives great advice. And when he realizes it's Jesus, that's when he decides to put on some clothes and jump in the water. Like, it's totally okay to be naked in the boat fishing, but once you jump in the water to go get Jesus, you got to put your clothes on. I just love our scriptures. They always amaze us. But it also reminds me that these disciples that Jesus built his movement on, that he built the church on, they're just regular, old, quirky people like you and like me. Naked or not, isn't it just like Jesus to meet us where we're at? I don't know about you, but I've spent plenty of days where it felt like I was fishing and there wasn't a single fish in the sea. Okay, so maybe I wasn't actually fishing, because the last time I did, I was fly fishing and my sister hooked me in the arm, and then later I hooked myself, and I've pretty much sworn off that since then. But just imagine that you've been out working towards something all day long, and hours later you aren't anywhere closer than where you were when you started. It's at that low point that Jesus comes to the shore and speaks to us. With the disciples, he tells them to cast their nets to the other side of the boat. And yes, Jesus is God, so technically, even though he isn't an expert fisherman, he's got all the inside info on where the fish swim and their patterns and all those things. But I think this had less to do with his God knowledge and more to do with trying to make a point to all of us. You see, if you're diligently fishing and the net continues to come up empty, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Project not working out for you? Try the other side of the boat. Relationship not working out for you? Try the other side of the boat. Prayer life not working out for you? Try the other side of the boat. Whatever it is that isn't working, try the other side. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, pull in your net and forget about it. He doesn't say, give up for today and try again later. Jesus quite pointedly says, cast your net to the right side of the boat, and there will be something. All of that has me thinking about last year. For those of you who don't know, I was serving as a missionary last year. I served in 3 different countries in 3 vastly different ministry settings. I was in Japan working in a Christian training institute on an organic farm, in Thailand working at a church in Bangkok, and lastly at a church and a community center in Panama, very, very rural Panama. The church in Panama, it was in a small town of roughly 100 or so Latino people. Most of the houses, they lined the main road, and many of the ones on that main road had electricity, but very few had running water. And just outside of town were Nobe communities that surrounded us. Nobe is the indigenous people group who'd been living in that region long before the Spanish ever arrived. The Nobe communities didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water. Needless to say, their weren't a lot of access to health clinics, really any health care in the area. And so the church that I was living and working at had decided that they would build a clinic since the nearest ones were so far away. But they ran into a few hitches, like needing clean water for the clinic. It was quite an undertaking in this rural community. But the church persisted, and they built this well, and their objective was achieved. The clinic was built. They had continual funding for a doctor, which was huge, and they had clean water for the clinic. Now, from where we're sitting, all of this seems difficult to accomplish, but doable. But trust me, this job took years. It was a huge task. But after the clinic was up and running, there was this huge feeling of relief and success. But something kept nagging that church. What if we built a sink on the outside of the clinic so people could access clean water while they waited or at any time of the day? What if we tried the other side of the boat? And so they did. They made a sink and they linked it with the well, and people got clean water while they waited at the clinic throughout the day and even in the night if they needed it. But what they didn't expect was with some of the changes in weather. During the dry season, there wasn't running water anywhere anymore. The faucets were dry at school and in the few homes that actually had water. There was a river nearby, so people could get water for bathing, but the water from the river was so dirty that people didn't have anything to cook with or to wash their hands with. They didn't have anything to drink. And so while we were there, there were actually two young children who died from drinking the water in the river. See, the church didn't realize that by digging the first well in this community for the clinic, that they provided clean water during the dry season for the entire community. People from down the street came. People walked from miles away. People rode in on bicycles and horses, balancing huge blue jugs or any container they could find to fill with water, just to have water for their family to cook and to wash and to survive. Because the church offered this water, this life-saving water, this living water, because the church offered it, the entire community was regularly coming to the church. We got to know everyone in the community when we lived there. We got to talk with them and pray with them. We got to know who was sick and who had lost their jobs. We got to invite people to worship and celebrate with them the births of their babies. It was a beautiful thing. See, these days we often ask, how do we connect our church to the community around us? But there in Panama was a community that survived because of the church, because of what the church offered the community. And so it got me thinking, where else is Jesus calling us to try the other side? What's on the other side of the boat for our church? Where are the places and the ways that we can reach out? Now, we have running water, but our community still has needs. Some that we're already meeting, others that are just on the other side of the boat. So what are those needs in our community? What is that living water that the church in Panama offered? How can we best offer Christ's living water in and to this community? These are the questions I want you to ponder this week. And if you haven't already, I hope that you'll sign up for one of the pastor meet and greets. It's on the welcome table in the back. We have four gatherings coming up. The next two Sundays, the 18th and the 25th, right after church at 12:15 in the parlor. Tuesday the 20th at 1 p.m. during the day for those who don't want to get out at night. and Thursday the 29th at 5:45 for people after work, all in the church parlor. This will be a time that I've already shared that we can get to know one another better, since I'm new here, still learning you, still learning the community. But it's also a time for you to tell me what you love about this church, or if you're visiting, what you're looking for in a church. But I also look forward to hearing your ideas for reaching out to others in our community, for making our church a hub, for building relationships. So what will our well be? Together? Together, let's try the other side of the boat. Amen.